Belinda Audio and Audible Studios present For Any Other Truth, DCI Daily, Book 9. Written by Denzel Myrick and read by David Monteith.
Prologue. MI5 HQ, London. Where once oak-panelled walls echoed to the sound of exclusively male upper-class accents, tobacco smoke hung heavy in the air and the old-school tie was as good as any badge of office. All had changed. Sleek, low-lit corridors in glass and steel made the place look more like a futuristic space from a dystopian novel than the offices of the organisation tasked with protecting the UK from its enemies. Today, and long overdue, many considered, things were very different. Katsia Omar, in her position as head of operational contingencies, was frowning at the large screen in front of the long black glass table.
"You tell me he's superglued himself to the carriage," she said, watching the footage of a young man wrestling with half a dozen uniformed police officers.
"Yes, and he's not the only one."
Iolo Harris's deep Welsh baritone resonated round the room.
"It's a coordinated operation. We have 16 such incidents here in London. It's affecting both rail and underground networks. I'm afraid the place is grinding to a standstill."
Omar looked across at a young man in a hoodie and expensive dive watch, whose gaze was fixed on a computer screen.
"Fabian, what about the rest of the country?"
"It's hard to say just what is happening," he replied in a St. Lucian drawl. "But we have incidents flagged in Birmingham, Manchester, Glasgow and Cardiff."
"They're closing the UK down."
Tabitha Saley Brown blinked at Omar through her thick glasses, her face pale as a ghost.
"I think we should recommend that the army be deployed."
Omar was always surprised at how quick her head of implementation was to take the most strident action possible. Though she looked like a nervous sparrow, Tabitha was probably the most hawkish person in the room.
"Far too soon," said Harris. "In any case, it's our last card. We put the army on the streets and they've won the argument. We live in an oppressive, top-down society. I can hear the bloody spokesman now."
Omar sighed.
"It's our job to work out what's going to happen next. It's clear the police are struggling. Goodness knows they've had enough to do without people gluing themselves to trains all over the place."
"Not only trains. One woman has chained herself on top of the empty plinth in Trafalgar Square. She's calling herself the living embodiment of a tethered world. She's been nominated for the Turner Prize, and it's only just a 9:15.
Tyrone Selznick from Elizabeth, New Jersey, was on exchange from the FBI. His job was to gauge the global situation.
"But there's nothing else anywhere in Europe or back home. This must be a UK phenomenon," he said, rather dismissively. "Like a Chinese fire drill."
His eyes darted across the room.
"Oh, sorry, Jean. No offence intended."
Jean Wei scowled at him.
"I'm from Dudley. What would I know about Chinese fire drills? Gentlemen, please..."
Omar didn't like raising her voice. Her mother had taught her that it was an intimation of defeat, but the pair didn't like each other and were forever bickering. In any case, Selznick had been rather forced upon her, and she found his abrasive character at odds with the way she preferred to run things. Clashes within various factions of MI5 were legend. It was her job to end all that. But every day she saw examples of little federations sprouting up within this supposedly united service. She was determined to do all she could to extinguish them before they took hold, but one had to be careful. Omar stared at the screen again. The man glued to the train had been stripped of his clothes. He appeared to be desperately grabbing his private parts as officers looked on, scratching their heads.